Good morning.
Good morning.
Yay! There are live bodies here. I wondered. Had me worried there for a minute. Oh, boy, what a weekend it has been. You guys have had some of the most phenomenal weather, and I know that God has spoken to many of you. It is amazing what His Holy Spirit does at this place. And as Jonathan said, it's not a thing of fort. It's not me up here speaking. The thing is, it's what the Holy Spirit does. We're just tools in a hand. You ever notice that when somebody's good with woodworking, they build cabinets and stuff like this? Does the power tool ever get the praise? No. You know, the power tool is just there to do the job. It cuts the wood or it drills things and stuff like this. But it's the master designer who builds the thing. That's who gets the praise, right? That's the way it should be. That's what it is. And the Holy Spirit really works here. He works all over the world, but He really seems to love this place because He really touches people's lives here. Well, this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little lesson here about salt. As we've been talking about that, our theme is Christ in me and me in Christ. Well, who in the world are we? Who does Christ say that we are when we're in Him? That's what we've been talking about. We learned about a new creation. Yesterday we saw that we're soldiers. And today we're talking about salt. Salt. Jesus calls us salt. Yeah. And to some people, that might be an insult. But actually, when you understand, I'm going to take you back in time here. Back in time. We're going to go back in time, and I'm going to teach you some things about salt that maybe you didn't know. Probably a lot of you know this stuff, but maybe all of you are salt experts. I don't know. Ron mentioned the other day about putting salt on watermelon. How many people do that? Wow, look at the hands. Six. Who puts salt on apples? Two. Who puts salt in your hand and just lick it? There we go. Yeah. We used to do that. Watermelon and salt. I used to do that. My parents used to do that. You'd eat an apple, particularly a green apple. My mom used to always sprinkle salt on that and eat that. And I'm sorry? Oh, cantaloupe. Who puts salt on cantaloupe? One. I've never heard of anybody putting it on honeydew, but... Oh, if my wife sprinkles on, if she was to sprinkle salt on me, that would be salt on honeydew because I'm her honeydew this, honeydew that type. Hey, it's the last day. So we're going to talk about salt today, and salt is an amazing thing. I've got some samples of salt up here and some things with salt in it, and I'm going to need some help with some things as we go through this. But wow, there's three pencils here too. That's amazing. They have nothing to do with salt. Sharp instruments don't go good with me. But anyway, let's open in prayer. Let's get started, okay? Ready? Father God, we thank You for what a fabulous time we've had here. Not just of the fun, Lord, but of the lessons You have taught us. The wonderful thing that You put upon Truman Robertson's heart when he found this property and bought this is that as we look almost anywhere in here, we don't see man-made structures. We see Your handiwork, the brushstrokes of You, the master painter, on nature, how You have created the trees, the water, the fish, the birds, even the squirrels, and all other life. We can look out of any window around here and literally see the handiwork of God. But Lord, the greatest handiwork, the masterpiece You made is us. And You have called us back from a sinful life to be close to You. And You even call us salt. And as we go through this, may Your Holy Spirit, Lord, again, do the teaching. I ask that Your Spirit do the teaching. Work upon the hearts and the minds of people as we explore what salt means. And why did Jesus say that? And that's a confusing passage to many people about salt losing its saltiness. Lord, we ask that Your Spirit teach us today and not just give us head knowledge, but impact our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Salt, a very interesting commodity. Did you know that salt is something that used to be extremely valuable? True, it really was. Historically, salt has been used as income, a sign of wealth. It was one of the most important products in the ancient world. Today, you go to a restaurant or you go to a little food stand or something, and they got little packages of salt, right? Little paper ones, you tear them open. I tried to find some of those. I don't have any. But you tear open those little things of salt, we give it away free. And in the dining hall, like every table's got a salt shaker. We give away salt for free today. In the ancient world, they did not do that. In the ancient world, salt was really expensive, and it was used as money, actually is. I'm going to show you some more. It was one of the most important products because this is before the age of refrigeration. Do you know, even just 150 years ago during the American Civil War, certain battles of the Civil War took place by salt production places, salt works in the United States. As they were going, the North was going down invading the South in the Civil War. They were trying to take out many of the salt works. Why? Because salt was so precious. It was more valuable than money. Because before refrigeration, you use salt to preserve things. So when God, when Jesus is telling us, and he calls us the salt of the earth, he's calling us something very, very worthy, very precious, a very important thing. Not something minor. Today we think of salt and we just trample on the ground. We throw it on the roads in the wintertime up here. Yeah, it's really important. In ancient times, it was. It was very important. So when Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, he's saying you are so important. Let me give you an example of that. I have here in this little bag some gemstones. These are real gemstones. Amethyst. Do you like amethyst? Aren't they pretty? If purple is your favorite color, this is your stone, because these are gorgeous, almost always amethyst, not always, but most of the time it is purple. Now, amethyst, did you know, until just a couple hundred years ago, this bag of amethyst would be worth thousands of what we would today call dollars. They were more precious than diamonds. Amethyst used to be like that. It used to be one of the most important gemstones, more precious than diamonds and emeralds and rubies, amethyst. Yet today it's considered not that expensive of a gem. So we have amethyst in here. At one time, this was very, very expensive. What I'm holding would be thousands of dollars worth of gemstone. Today, it's not that expensive. Who loves amethyst? I mean, isn't it a pretty thing? Anybody really like amethyst? Yeah, you do? There you go. Now, if we go back in time about 2,000 years, I just gave you enough money to retire on. Don't do it today, though. But that's, salt was the same way. Salt, if I have a bag of salt, which I have a bag of salt here, wow, that was so precious back then. It was so important in the ancient world. And it was used for many things. Many cultures, many societies and governments were actually so dependent upon salt. In Greece, salt was used as a currency. Yes, money. They would trade and buy slaves, which is not a really nice thing, but they would buy slaves with bags of salt. That's what they used. And that's where we get a phrase, maybe you've heard of somebody saying, well, he's not worth his weight in salt. That's where that comes from. It's because they used to buy slaves with salt. And if it was a useless slave, well, he's not worth his weight in salt. That's where that's all from. Isn't that interesting? How salt was used like that? For so long, we used it in that way. How about the word, those of you who are adults and have a job, you get a salary, right? Why do we call it salary? Why don't we call it monery? Let's call it monery. No, we call it salary. The reason, it's from a Latin word, salum. Salarium was the word for salt, and it was what you paid people. And the thing is, in Rome, soldiers were actually, for doing their job, instead of getting paid in copper or bronze or gold or silver, they would get paid in salt. There, that was for doing a great job. You get a bag of salt. Today we think, wow. I'm so thrilled. Oh, in ancient times in Rome. Now, if you could go back to Rome today, you know how much money you got right there? You could go to the candy store in Rome and buy a whole pile of petrified cotton candy or something. I don't know what they had. But that's what salt is. It was the word, and that's where we get the word salary. It comes from the Romans used to pay people in salt. So it was a precious thing back in those days. Now, Jesus makes a very, very important statement when he talks about us being the salt of the earth. Now, I'm looking at this one verse today. This shan't be long today. I just want to show you one verse here, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I'm taking this out of the New Living Translation to make it a little bit more understandable, getting the mindset of what's being said here. It says, you are the salt of the earth. This is Jesus talking. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, a lot of people are often puzzled by this, and I'll tell you, sitting in a church service over my life, I have heard so many different explanations of this verse, of what Jesus is talking about here. I mean, if you pick up commentaries, I have a lot of different commentaries in my office, and I read commentaries. Seems like every commentary has got a different take on what this means. Well, sometimes we have to go back to the ancient culture of which Jesus is living in, and he's teaching these lessons to understand what he's talking about. But let me show you a few of these that were in some of the commentaries that I had. For instance, salt is a purifying agent, as one pastor said. It's a purifying agent. And we Christians need to be pure in heart. And they build a whole sermon based upon this, about how salt is purifying. Have you ever seen these salt rocks? And here's one. This is a salt, this is a candle holder. Bought this at Walmart this week. I thought it was really cute. It's got a nice little hole in here to put a candle in, or you can put candy in here. Chocolate. Yep. But the salt here, these things, and so I have a niece that has one of these in her house, and she swears that this changed everybody's life in the house because it's supposed to get, if you pick up the box even, it says, you know, it's Himalayan salt, and it says on here that it, in big letters, it produces negative ions, which then purify the air. Now, being a former scientist, I was a published scientist. I used to work in the field of science, not in salt that much, saltwater fish. But anyway, I had to go back, and when I see stuff like this, I have to research it. So I went back and started reading science papers on this the last couple of weeks, reading about these things. There is absolutely no scientific data showing that. In some labs, they actually filled a small room with a whole pile of these, and they had detectors for ions, measuring the ions, and they ran these things for hours, and it didn't do anything. But it is pretty. And in the wintertime, it's warm. Yeah, warm salt. Mmm, yeah. So, you get salt on your hand. Yep, that's salty. But there you go. Absolutely no real therapeutic thing to it, scientifically proven, but it is nonetheless a pretty thing. So, it is pure thing. You know, it's supposed to purify the air. Might be better if they just ground up in salt and threw it up in the air. I don't think that would do it either, though. But that's one take on it. Here's another one. Christians need to add flavor to the world we live in. That's what Jesus is saying. You're the salt of the earth? Christians, you're supposed to give flavor to the world. Now, okay, and salt is used for that. We do use that for that. Have you ever taken potato chips? You ever eat potato chips with no salt on them? Ugh. Or how about this? How about popcorn? Anybody like microwave popcorn? Oh, you like microwave popcorn? Touchdown! Microwave popcorn, it's got salt in it. That's good, because I'm not supposed to eat that anymore, so take it away from me. But the thing is, we flavor food with it. I can see where a pastor would get this take that, okay, you flavor food with salt. I mean, you put salt on eggs, and I had an egg McMuffin this morning. I put salt on it, actually very little, because there's bacon in there, and there's already a ton of salt, you know, the national food of Fort Wilderness, bacon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's another take. How about this one? Salt's used in medicine, and if added to a cut makes it sting, we Christians need to bring a sting to the world and make the world uncomfortable. We need to shed the truth of the gospel and God's word to everybody, and it's like a sting to those who do not believe it or those who refuse to accept it. It stings them, and salt has been used for a long time in medicine. They really have. They've used salt, the flavor. We use salt for medicine. This is that Himalayan salt, and some people say, oh, Himalayan salt is more important than this, or than ordinary white sea salt. And if you look at the mineral content, this has a little bit more potassium, a little bit more magnesium, slightly more calcium, but actually it doesn't really make a difference. There's still some of this stuff in the sea salt too, but this is prettier. I mean, really, this is just plain white. This is pink. So it's prettier. Don't you think that's prettier? That's prettier, isn't it? Yeah. So, and if you put this in a cut, you ever get a cut? Put salt in it? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You ever get a cut and then forget about it on your hand or something like that? Start to eat salty popcorn? You start, ooh, yeah, I got a cut. And it helps to clean the cut because it kills in certain pathological or disease-causing bacteria. So that could see a point there. Okay, I can see that. Or how about this one? Salt makes us thirsty. Yeah, you eat potato chips. The other night, my wife and I were, it was in the evening, and this was a week ago or so, and one of my weaknesses, I will tell you one of my weaknesses besides chocolate, Lay's potato chips. You will vouch for this. We hardly have Lay's potato chips because if they enter the house, they start screaming because they know they're going to get eaten by me as soon as they walk in the house. But I love potato chips. And the other night, I got a bag of potato chips. We sat down in front of the TV, and I didn't get anything to drink. I'm just sitting here with a big bag of Lay's potato chips, which is always a mistake. You're supposed to put it in a bowl. Otherwise, you eat the whole bag, which I have actually done before. But I didn't get anything to drink. And she leans over and looks at me, and she says, "You're going to eat those potato chips with nothing to drink?" Yeah, not a good idea. I ended up having to go get something to drink because it made me thirsty. Who likes potato chips? Now, the thing is, you don't have anything to drink. By the end of the session, if I talk really long today, her tongue will be hanging out of her mouth and just dragging on the floor as she heads to the fountain in the back here because she's got nothing to drink. You can blame me for that too, because salt makes us thirsty. Yeah, so making us thirsty. We Christians are supposed to cause a thirst in the world today. That's a really good take. That makes a lot of sense. I sort of like that, yeah. And here's another one. Well, actually, that was enough. Let's talk about this. Now, are these interpretations, and there's more, are these interpretations really what Jesus was talking about? Now, I do believe that there's some truth in each one of those. I do believe that we should cause a sting. I do believe that we should be a purifying agent. I do believe that. But is that what Jesus is talking about? One thing, as I told you earlier this weekend, was when you do a Bible study, pick a paragraph sometimes. Just study a paragraph for a week. Opening sentence of a paragraph will give you an idea of what the content is, because that's the thesis sentence. And then look at the verses very carefully. Because that's not what Jesus, any of those, is not really what Jesus is talking about in this paragraph. That's not what he's talking about. You see, he's got two things in here, and I just want to hit you with these right before we leave. First of all, Jesus uses the term, the salt of. He uses that as a noun. Now, those who are in middle school and stuff like that and learning about nouns, you're like, oh boy, wow, I finally got to use some of that grammar they taught me in school. Actually, when I was in school, if they had taught me back in middle school, later elementary, about nouns, adverbs, adjectives, predicates, and all that, if they would have told me, because I often wondered, why am I studying this? I don't ever see my dad sitting here diagramming a sentence. Remember doing those? Hope there's no English teachers I'm killing here. No, there's a point here I'm making. I'm not trying to be facetious or anything. But if they had told me that learning this stuff and I applied this to studying the Bible, it will make the Bible come alive for me and to show me things, boy, I would have been all over it. And really, that's what you do. Jesus uses this as a noun. And as he's talking as a noun here, he's talking as a reference to his followers who are obviously listening to him, but he's also talking to all of us Christians today. He's God. He knows about all that kind of stuff. He's telling us of our responsibility to the world. That's the first thing he's getting across here. Now, salt. He calls us salt. Why salt? Salt has been used, as I said, in preservation of food. We're to stand apart from a corrupt world, is what Jesus is saying. As salt stops corruption. Right here, I got a piece of homemade beef jerky. Already hands are going up. I didn't even say anything. Already, pick me, pick me. I have a homemade piece of beef jerky I made out of sirloin. And the thing is, to make this, you add salt. I marinated this in salt and a few spices. Not many spices, it's mild. But I got salt in there. Actually, I put a little sugar in there too. But it's got salt. Now, what salt does is, if I just set the piece of meat out on the table and let it just sit there, it's going to rot. Bacteria and fungi are falling down from the air, riding dust particles down, landing on here. Woohoo, we get to eat this now. And they start producing chemicals that spoil the food. Insects and stuff will come in legs. And But if you salt it, it's different because the salt pulls the water out, and bacteria and fungi need water to be able to survive, just like you need water, and she's going to need a drink here pretty soon after eating these chips. You need water to survive or your tongue swells and you die. I don't mean to scare you. But if you have salt on here, it takes away the water and the bacteria and the fungi that cause the food spoilage. They can't grow. And so it preserves it. This can last for months. So it's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Beef jerky is really great, and it has a spiritual emphasis to it. My dad used to grow. He lived on a farm. They had pigs and other things. But they had a smokehouse, and they also salted meat. They would take meat as they slaughtered a pig or whatever, and they would cover it totally in salt, and then they would also smoke it in their smokehouse. That's what I remember seeing this as a little kid when I would go visit my granny. We are supposed to be, as Jesus is saying, a preservative to the world. That is, because that, in the time of Christ, that was the primary use of salt, was a preservative. They salted fish. The disciples knew all about this. Remember, these guys are fishermen. No refrigeration. Peter didn't get back from the boat one day, take out his big catch, and walk into the house. Hi, hon, how you doing? Where's the, open up the freezer, stick the fish in there. They didn't have that. So what they did is they salted the fish. They'd gut it, clean it up, and then they covered it in salt, buried it sometimes in salt. Salt was so important, so everybody knew when Jesus is teaching this lesson that it is a preservative. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are to be a preservative to the world. That's the function here that we're talking about. Now, as we say, with beef jerky, this makes perfect sense. Because it stops. The salt will prevent the fungi and the bacteria that would spoil the meat from being able to grow. That's why beef jerky lasts so long. That's why it's dry and will break and tear and stuff like that. It's very, very dry. We Christians, Jesus is telling us, his followers, to help retard the moral and spiritual decay that we see in the world today. That's what he's telling his disciples. We are to be the preservative to go out into this world and show the true morals of God. We are God's ambassadors, his representative. God is holy, as I said yesterday. We are to convey that to the world and let them see that we are holy as he is holy. And beef jerky is a great example of that. Now, the second part of this is very confusing. And this is where it really gets bizarre to some commentators writing these things. Jesus continues and says, if salt has lost its taste, really? Can salt really lose its taste? Have you ever picked up a salt shaker? Pick it up. What kind of language am I speaking? Have you ever picked up a salt shaker or whatever, opened it up, take some salt, those of you who like to pour it in your hand, pour it, like even if I pour it in the water here, I pour some of that salt into water, it's still salt, isn't it? Oh, it dissolves. Oh, it disappeared. Wow, magic. No, it's still in there. And if I dry this up, set this in the sun, let the water evaporate, the salt comes back. It forms the crystals again. It's still salt. And you know what? It still tastes salty. I remember sitting one time as a scientist, sitting in my church service and hearing a pastor say that salt can actually lose its saltiness and no longer be salt. And I'm like, huh? You know, I had to go up and ask, did you fail chemistry in high school? Do you know what salt is? Salt is basically just two atoms that are bonded together. It's a sadum. That's a sign I need chocolate water. There we go. Oh, now I feel good. It's two molecules, or two atoms here, one of sodium, one of chlorine. Chlorine's a gas. And I don't mean that as a joke. Chlorine's a gas. No, chlorine is a gas. And the thing is, when you bond these, and it's like an ionic bond, it's a really hard bond, they're bonded. You could take a hammer, sit here, whack, 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 whack. You're not going to break the salt. I can hit this as many times as I want. It's going to break up into smaller pieces. It's still salt, and it's still going to taste like salt. It is still salt. Can salt lose its saltiness? It's still sodium chloride. Sodium chloride is still going to be salt. You can't separate that. By natural means, you are not going to separate salt and make it into something that's unsalty. So when people say that salt, I remember hearing this once in a sermon. If you leave salt out for a long period of time, it will lose its saltiness. This guy must be like 2,000 years old with some salt, because I'll tell you, even with 2,000 years, it's not going to change. It's still salt. It does not lose its saltiness. This is not what Jesus is saying. He's saying something else. And it's a really important lesson that we need to adhere to today, what he is telling us about this salt. You see, salt is sodium chloride. If it's not sodium chloride, it's not salt. You can't get rid of it like just by that. You can hit it, you can put it in water, dissolve, it's still going to be salt. It's still there. No. Jesus, what's he meaning here? Salt doesn't become unsalty. That's not what he's saying. But it becomes contaminated. Salt can become contaminated. Do you ever notice what they put salt when you buy it in a store, what it comes in? Basically two type of products they will put it in, or three. There's three products that they put it in. Do you know what they are? Anybody? Okay, someone said glass. Glass is one. Paper or cardboard is the other. The third one, plastic. Why doesn't it come in a metal container? It will react. It reacts. It's still salt. It'll still technically be called salt, but it might not taste the same because it picks up the ions. Here we're back to ions. But it picks up the ions from metal and becomes contaminated. In the earth and ancient days and stuff like this, if you put it in a metal container, that would ruin the salt after a period of time. If you put it around in a container on the earth, because they often in ancient times used to, in their kitchens, they would drill holes, cut holes into solid rock in their houses and have pits in their houses. You come with me to Israel, I'll show you some of these, in Nazareth in particular. There's holes in the ground and they would pour grain and stuff and olive oil into these holes, just stone holes. And in some cases, you put the, it depends on what the stone is, if you put salt in there, it can react with something and become contaminated. It does become contaminated, and when it gets contaminated, the taste is overpowered. Then you can't use it for your steak, you can't use it for jerky. Matter of fact, in some cases it becomes very poisonous to us, and it's bad for us and can make us sick. So Jesus knows this. The disciples back in the first century, they understand this, that if you put salt, because they use salt a lot more than we do today, if you put it in the wrong kind of thing or exposed it to the wrong type of thing, the exposure to the wrong environment can actually damage and ruin the salt taste, and actually, in some cases, make it very dangerous to us. That's what it was like in the first century when Jesus is talking and teaching this. So what's he saying? Jesus is telling us that just as salt can become contaminated by other minerals and metals and things and become tasteless and become useless, Christians can too. We can become contaminated. That's not a nice thing we like to talk about. When a Christian gets involved in worldliness of sin, that's the contamination. When a Christian gets involved in the worldliness of sin, they get contaminated. When they are contaminated, that damages their witness. That damages their effectiveness being able to be used by God for his kingdom. We don't lose our salvation. But we're no longer pure. We're contaminated. And we're unable to be effective in God's service. That's what this is talking about. We get caught up in sin. It's sad to say, but just in the last month, two very popular, very, very popular Bible teachers and authors got contaminated in sin and have left now the ministry. We Christians are vulnerable to what's around us. No, we don't lose our salvation. We do become contaminated. We can no longer be effectively used by God. Jesus is telling you, you are the salt of the earth. For one, he's saying, you are so precious. You are so worthy. You are worth so much to me, because that's what salt was. You are a flavor. You are a preservative to this world. The things I have taught you, he is saying, spread that around. Spread that. Season the world. But do not become contaminated. Because in the first century, they understood this so well because they used salt in those ways. We don't use it like that today. He's telling us, don't become contaminated. As Jesus said, we are no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the feet. You can no longer perform and work in God's ministry effectively if we get contaminated by sin. What kind of sins? Oh, man, there's so many. Porn, greed, pride, lying, stealing. Christians do these. And when they do, they're contaminated. That's when we have to get back close to God. repent of our sins, as Jesus always said, repent. But the best thing is not to get contaminated, not to get exposed to what's in the world around us. You see what's around us today? We have to be very careful. This goes back to the passage I gave you yesterday. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. This is a great passage to memorize. Parents, I even challenge you, have your kids learn this verse. Here it is out of the New Living Translation to give you the idea of what Jesus is saying. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Sin. You didn't know any better back then. But now you must be holy in everything you do. You notice it says holy in everything, not just on Sunday mornings. In everything, in our work, in our play, the way we treat our neighbors, the way we treat our family. Be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, great challenge to me every day. I love this verse. For Scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. So please remember, you are so precious to God. Salt was a precious thing. You are precious. You are so, so being loved by God. Do you really know it and understand it? You are so precious. You're a masterpiece to Him. But as Christians, we must be careful not to get contaminated with what's around us, or we lose our saltiness. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just ask that you just help us. May your Spirit that indwells us protect us, work upon our conscience. Forgive us, Lord, when we do sin, and when we do sin, Lord, to turn to you immediately, not to go running away, but to come back to the wide open, loving arms of God and say, yes, Lord, I messed up, I sinned. Please, Holy Spirit, help me never to do that again. Use me. Don't have me sitting on the bench. Put me in the game, God. How can I be used for you? And help me to be holy so I can be effective and not contaminated and tasteless. I ask that you bless all of these people in here, all of those who are listening, Lord. Give them a safe journey back home. Keep them close to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Ron?